Hello and welcome to episode 252 of Heroes of Handheld 252, the internet's leading handheld gaming podcast dedicated to all things handheld, whether it be Switch. My name is Chris, and this week we're doing things a bit differently because Colin can't be here. So old me, I can't think of a funny way of saying me, but like old fuddy duddy, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to give it a sandwich episode this week because Colin can't be here, and then you'll get a little bit of news from him, and then you get a little bit of news from me afterwards. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you straight over to Colin Byrne, who's going to be talking about what's caught his eye this week.
Well, howdy everybody, it's Colin, your friendly neighbourhood handheld gaming person. I used to be your friendly neighbourhood PlayStation Vita player back in the old days of Heroes of Handheld, but now I'm just your typical handheld mobile / Switch player. Oh yeah. Hasn't got as nice a ring to it, but there you go. Anyway, sorry I can't be here this week, but I'm still going to give you a little dabbling. Dabbling's not really a word, I don't think. When I hear the word dab, I just think that whole dabbing craze that the kids were doing all those years ago. I feel so out of touch. No, it's the kids that are wrong, not us. So I'm going to give you a few bits of news. I'm going to chat about some games, this, that, and the other. Then I'm going to hand you back to Christopher. So the first thing I want to speak about this week is a game I have been playing, and we did mention this last week because this game won the best mobile game at the BAFTA Awards, Gaming BAFTA Awards 2019. In fact, it's won a lot of different awards. Looking at all its accolades, it won the game Best Mobile Game at the Game Awards in 2018. It won a Portable Game of the Year at the DICE Awards. Obviously, it won the Best Mobile Game at the BAFTA Award earlier this month, and also won Best Mobile Game and Best Debut from the Game Developers Choice Awards, which was also this year. And I am, of course, talking about Florence, which is by Mountains. It's their first title, and also published by Annapurna Interactive. Originally came out on iOS and Android in 2018, February last year for iOS and March last year for Android. And this game has won a lot of awards, as I said, and I hold my hands up, I had not actually heard of it until we spoke about it last week and it won the award at the BAFTAs. And I downloaded it last week. It was £2.99, £3, and I played the whole story in probably about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. I mean, I think with this sort of game, it's one that you can complete it as fast as you want. There's a lot to appreciate about it and a lot to take from it. But forgetting all that boring stuff, I absolutely loved this game. I was completely emotionally invested and I just went with it from the outset. I teared up a couple of times, things that resonated with me in my life and the ending as well. It was weird. There's a different selection of tears, from sadness to happiness to melancholy. It was a roller coaster of emotions. And for those of you who don't know what the game's about, I don't want to spoil anything major in the story, but it's centers around a character called Florence Yu, and you follow her life, where she is, what she's doing, her relationships, how she sees herself, and it follows the story of when she falls in love for the first time with a character who plays guitar, a character called Krish. And I don't want to say any more than that. The story, it's worth playing through. What's so good about it is the way it portrays relationships and what people feel about themselves in such, in my opinion, accurate ways. It really portrays like the whole emotional side and the, you know, falling in love with someone and the issues that can arise in relationships and things like that. And I absolutely loved it. It's an interactive novel, so it's a story. There are 20 chapters in total. The music is absolutely amazing. The art style is really nice, sort of hand-drawn style, and what makes it unique is the gaming element of it. It's full of mini-games, so simple things that Florence will do in her day-to-day life, like inputting information into a computer, brushing her teeth, you're in control of that. with little mini games up here below. So the story's happening in like a comic book panel, and then the mini games will appear underneath. And there's some really nice touches in there. One of my favorite touches is when you go on your first date with Krish and you are having a conversation with him. Obviously, first date, you're quite nervous, you're quite unsure. And so you've got to fill this little bubble with puzzle pieces. And when you fill that bubble, you then say something in the conversation. And the longer the date goes on, the easier and easier it gets to complete the puzzle, which is highlighting how the more time she spends with Krish, the more comfortable she is with him and easy it is for her to talk to him. It's really nice. I mean, the mini games themselves aren't that interesting. They're just very basic things. But it's the story that puts it all together, the story that makes it just so darn amazing. The ending is brilliant and there's a good message there as well. Not going to spoil too much about, as I said, where the story goes, but it goes down some dark places. But light at the end of the tunnel, the night is dark just before the dawn, all those things come to my mind when I think about it. And the lead designer was Ken Wong, who was the creative mind behind Monument Valley, so you know it's going to be amazing. But I'd definitely recommend it. It's only a couple of quid. Don't be put off by the fact it's only 30 minutes long. It will stay with you long after you finish it. I could not stop thinking about it. I played it all in the space of 30 minutes. I mean, you can, as I said, you can take longer to really appreciate it and admire the story. I mean, you sort of go through it the pace that you want. You can speed run through it really quickly, just skip all the little panels, skip the stories, just go all the way through, or you can actually take time to take in what's been said and what's happening with these characters. And even though it's such a short game, you really do feel a connection to Florence when you see her background and her hopes and dreams. It is amazing. It's a fantastic game. It deserves all the accolades it's been getting and all the awards it's won. It's absolutely brilliant. It's called Florence. It's been out for a year. Most of you have probably already played it, but if you haven't, you're missing out. It's a great game. You will not be disappointed. And if you do check it out after I've spoken about it, we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you want to email us, heroesofhandheld@gmail.com. Great to hear your thoughts on that. So, now I've spoken about that, let's get on to a little bit of news. Of course, Sony have dropped information about the PlayStation 5 today. Backwards compatible with PS4 games, not digital only, 4K gaming, and all that sort of, all that shabam. I'm sure me and Krish will go into more details in the next few weeks on that as more information comes out. Obviously, Xbox didn't want to be left out and announced details of their E3 conference, which is coming up in a couple of months. But the thing I wanted to talk about is the Nintendo Switch update, and the big addition in the latest update is the fact that you can now transfer individual game saves between systems, which could be highlighting that Nintendo are thinking towards, you know, the release of the new Nintendo Switch consoles, which are potentially coming later this year. Previously, you could just, you know, all your information would go between consoles, but now you can actually do individual saves, which makes it a lot easier. If you wanted to transfer, for example, if you're moving to a new Switch, if you buy a new one, obviously there's not much point buying a new one at the moment, you could just transfer that one save game over. So, you know, you could take your save game from Super Mario Odyssey as an example, or Zelda, and then play it on another console. Obviously, if you're a console sharer and you have a family, everyone using one Switch, before you'd have to save, move all your data over, which is no good for individual players. But this is a nice addition, and you know, it does really hint towards the reveal of these new Switch consoles, which we are expecting within the next few months. So very exciting. Apart from that, there was a few other updates. There's 50 new user icons, including Splatoon 2 and Yoshi's Crafted World, and you can even set your region to Hong Kong, Taiwan, or South Korea. So loads of things, and things with VR and parental controls and stuff like that. So that's all very exciting. So we look forward to the future of that and where we're going to be going with Nintendo Switch there, and the consoles to come in the near future. So that's pretty much it for me this week. Quite a slow news week, probably because I've not been searching that hard, but I just wanted to keep talking about Florence because I absolutely loved it. And Chris will tell you, I will tell you, it's very rare I pay full whack for a video game on mobile. So $2.99, which the game costs, that's a lot for me. But I, you know, no regrets at all. Money well spent. And there's no reason why people shouldn't be playing Florence. And everyone, I feel, will get something out of it and will feel a connection for some reason, in some way, with her and the relationship she has, and just other aspects of her life, her dreams, her aspirations, and jobs and life and stuff like that. So yes, Florence, definitely go and get it. Anyway, I'm going to hand you back to Chris now, who's going to take your hand and carry you through the rest of this Sarnie episode of Heroes of Handheld. Goodbye.
Thank you, Colin. Just goes to show that when you spend money on well-developed, interesting mobile games, you get something out of them, as opposed to repeatedly getting the stupid free rip-offs of puzzle games that are popular on the platform. Bit of shade, you're welcome. The news that's taken my eye this week, the big story for me, I think, is the retiring and the last day of Nintendo of America's former president and COO, Reggie Fils-Aimé. I've only ever seen him as Reggie. Anyway, so on Monday we saw Reggie leave his role at Nintendo to be replaced with Doug Bowser. More on Doug Bowser in a minute. But obviously Reggie's kind of impact has been really, really huge at Nintendo, and it was a really big, I think, a really big moment for a lot of people to see, you know, this kind of changing of the guard, because I think a lot of people, myself included, assumed that he would be there forever, even though obviously he announced in February that he was leaving. It didn't seem real, you know, and now it does. Reggie now has a personal Twitter account, which is at Reggie, which is baller as anything. Like, imagine if I was like, yeah, I'm quitting Heroes Handheld, and my Twitter account is at Chris. And obviously it's very popular on there. He's been posting lots of nostalgic pictures about things he's leaving in the office. You know, like a big Master Sword, things like his first E3 press pass, stuff like that. So you can go and look at that on Twitter, at Reggie, because he's baller, that's so cool. And it's, yeah, it's mad that he's leaving. And obviously it's easy to forget just how much, how long, because he's been at Nintendo for, you know, a decade and a half. It's easy to forget just how much stuff Reggie has seen through, but things like the Wii and making the Wii a sort of project that kind of rose the sea level for gaming, I think, bringing lots of younger people in, bringing lots of families in, and that's a benefit that has kind of gone out into the wider industry for sure. And obviously we've seen Reggie kind of roll with the punches with regards to the Wii U and the DS. I was reading something earlier which mentioned, and I hadn't even really realised this, that Reggie kind of shook up the relationship that Nintendo have with shops that are selling their products, because he made it so that basically if you want to, I mean, this is very much reduced layman's terms, but if shops are interested in selling a DS, they couldn't buy, you know, 10 at £100 each or whatever. They had to buy a massive order, but they would get a discount on it, and that meant that then it was kind of up to the shops to advertise and sell the product, because obviously they didn't want to return them, and they were the ones who were holding on all the stock rather than Nintendo. Kind of interesting decisions like that, which really shook up the market. And I think the other thing that Reggie's really done for Nintendo as well is made it feel like a company which is more and more open and accepting to its Western audience. I sort of feel like, especially coming out of the GameCube, going into the Wii era, it did feel very much like the Western audience for Nintendo were a bit of an afterthought compared to the Japanese and this Asian audience in general. And what Reggie's done by being a big profile whilst working for Nintendo of America has been, I think, really helpful and really important. So, yeah, it's very sad, but, you know, great big things to come. Doug Bowser taking over. Doug has been tweeting. He tweeted a picture of loads of little Bowser things in his office. And I hope there'll be a Nintendo Direct soon, because I think it'd be a really nice way to ingratiate Doug kind of more widely into the company. And obviously we saw Reggie on lots of Nintendo Directs back in the day, so it'll be nice to have him, to have that kind of mantle passed on. The only other little bit of news that kind of caught my eye is that the Smash Bros. 3.0 patch is supposedly out within the next couple of hours, and will bring Joker as well as Stage Builder and a new video editor. So not too much to say on that until I've got my hands on it, but keep in peeled, because that will be coming soon. And then hopefully, maybe if there is a Nintendo Direct before the end of the month, we'll see some sort of announcement of who character number two is, but they might be holding that close to their chest, don't they? So that's the episode this week. Sorry it's a bit short, but as Colin said, he's not here this week, so your boy Chris is doing it. Next week we're taking a week off. An interesting dilemma is that when Colin can't make a Wednesday, Chris offers to edit a podcast, but when Chris can't make a Wednesday, Colin says have the week off. I don't quite know how that's come about. I don't quite know how old Chrissy P has got the short end of the stick once again, but maybe we can all tweet at Colin and call him a snake. So have a nice week. Have a nice 2 weeks, in fact, and we'll be back right at the end of April to talk all things Heroes of Handheld. If you want to get in touch with us in the meanwhile, it's really tremendously simple to do so. You can tweet us at Handheld Podcast. You can email us Heroes. Actually, it'll be the start of May. We're back because it's first, isn't it? You can email heroesofhandheld@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook searching Heroes of Handheld and the website heroesofhandheld.wordpress.com. And whilst I've got your attention, I thought I should say we've got a new logo now on the website and on Twitter and such, which has been made by the excellent Ben Aldridge, who has the company Bullet Media. It's a pal of Colin's who very kindly did the artwork for us. So go and check Bullet Media out. And thank you very much to Ben, because it really does look spiffing. I'm a big fan. Okay, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And in the meanwhile, enjoy your Easter, enjoy your handheld gaming, play Florence, speak to you soon.